I just want to kind of wait on the Lord for a moment. Just kind of keep asking for His presence to encamp us. You know, I only want what the Father wants. I only want to say what the Father wants me to say. I only want to do what the Father wants me to do. I only want to be encamped in His presence on a daily basis, 99.9.9999%. Let that heaven just start opening up. And I know that there's many portals in this place, and I'm happy for them. Real quick testimony, we had a woman get touched with the heavenly firmament on Sunday. We had a portal open up, and she got covered and doused with the heavenly firmament, and what was beautiful, she got to start seeing God. You know, how many people realize that God is nothing more than signs, wonders, and miracles? If signs, wonders, and miracles are not manifesting in your life, then God is not around you. You need miracles. You need signs, not street signs. Signs that are like, wow, what is this? This must be God. And wonders, like, woo, I can't comprehend. This is like beyond my comprehension. Wow. You need the wow. And God is wow. Not G-O-D. Wow. W-O-W. Maybe we'll change God's name. W-O-W. How's that? Wow. We were talking earlier today, the girls and I, and we were saying that, you know what? I want to change God's name as the Creator. Just the Creator. I worship the Creator. Wouldn't that say everything in a nutshell? You know, they don't have to question, what God do you serve? You serve this God, that God? No, I serve the Creator. Even sounds like, rah, Creator. I serve the Creator. But that's my God, the Creator. With that being said, I want to thank all the nations that have logged on. And our list is growing tremendously. So I just got it from Rachel, and we're up to 88 nations. But, geez, Dennis, I'm going to ask you to come on up here because you have great punctuation. Me, sometimes my tongue gets tied. And I need you to tell the nations out there and thank them in the yellow. These are the most newest ones that we want to just thank you for logging on, and God wants to do something miraculous in your life or you would have never logged on. So, you want to start?
Azerbaijan, Singapore, Mozambique.
Wait, what is that? Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan. Send us an email. We want to know where you're from.
Singapore, Mozambique.
Mozambique, if it's who I think it is, I want to say God bless you, Heidi Baker. I don't know if it's you or not, but if you're listening, I love you, and stay tuned, hear what God has to say, and He'll minister to your heart.
Nepal, Angola, Malta, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Zambia, Slovenia, Croatia, and San Marino.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise for those. Thank you, Dennis. Matter of fact, Dennis is on our worship team, and that man is an awesome anointed man in worship. He plays the drums, and I just love to see him grow, and he's just growing in God, and it's just an awesome thing. With that being said, I'm speaking a series about why God, you know, and it's starting to become obvious why we need God, because we can't do anything without Him. Amen? I mean, literally, if we think we can do anything in our own strength, we're really lying to ourselves, and we're being deceived, because technically our strength and our life comes through our Creator. And every breath that you take, it's only because He's allowing you to take your breath. Every strength in your body, He's allowing you to have that strength. And until you realize this and you try to take things in your own matters, you're going to find out it's really hard and difficult to live your life. I want to continue to speak a message on why God, and I'm going to continue to keep on coming to you and tell you why God, at least my God. I mean, there's many gods out there, but my God is very special. He's the only true living God, the God that manifests the reality of what life is, and it gives you a peace and a joy and a happiness alongside of it. So that's like an extra added bonus. Not only do you have a wonderful relationship with a supreme being that takes care of all your needs, but you also are encamped around a peace, a joy, and a righteousness that just is far beyond what you can even imagine. And you don't even have to do anything for it. It's like gives it to you. It's given to you. It's a free gift. Well, tonight, I want to share with you, okay, you said yes in your heart. Okay, why God? You told me about your God. I want to know your God. Now, how do I get to him? How do I get to your God? And that's what I want to start tonight. How do you get to my God? What are the attributes that you need to manifest in order for you to come to God? Because God wants to come to you, but he can't come to you if you are manifesting something that is foul to him. How many people understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you're like dirty and stinky and, you know, you haven't taken a bath and I'm sure, you know, your lover or whatever isn't going to come over and start, oh, you know, maybe in the very beginning when they're, you know, blind by love, but pretty soon they're going to say, hey, listen, you got to take a shower. You stink. Poo. Well, this is the same thing with God. God is saying, pew, you stink. But what is the smell that he's smelling? It's not actual odor, like body odor. It has nothing to do with your outwardness. It has everything to do with your inwardness. And so I'm going to share with you how to take a bath. How many people want to know how to take a bath so that you smell good where God? Okay, good. So tonight it's going to be how to take a bath. If I had to title this message, how to take a bath and smell good for God. For one, we have to look within. We have to come to a place where we are showing God that we really want to know him. We have to come to a place and say, God, you know what? I really want to show you that I want you to be my God. Don't try to figure out which one it is yet. My God is the true living God, and if you do what I tell you to do, that God will come to you. You see? No other God will come to you. Just my God will come to you. Because my God comes and is drawn to a truth. No deception, no lies. It comes to a pure truth and a righteousness. But understand that the righteousness is not you doing good works. And I want to set you free from this. You don't have to do anything in a sense of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. Now, it sounds like an oxymoron because you're saying, well, wait a minute. You're telling us that we need to do something for God to come to us. But yet you're saying, don't do anything. Yes, because the reality is you don't have to do anything other than look within inside and start cleaning up within inside. And that is just simple, but yet very, very difficult. But it is simple if you come to a place and saying, okay, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm ready for you to come into my life. Until then, it's going to be very, very hard for you to take a bath for God. You have to come to God in a form of saying, I'm ready. I'm done. I'm done. I can't do anything other. I've done it all. I'm weak. I'm tired. And I'm really ready for a change. How many is that here tonight ready for that? You know? Amen. Because you're ready for a bath then. You're ready to take this bath. Until then, don't even look at the bathtub. Don't even think about it. The water's going to be well too hot for you to get in it. It's going to be well too hot. or, well, too cold, one or the other. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be like, ooh, nice soothing bath. You're going to be like, ah, and jump in and jump right out. You're not going to be able to handle it. You're not going to be able to take care. You're not going to be able to take the bath that is needed to be taken. So if you have that heart and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you have reached a point in your life where you're saying, I really want to know this God now, then we're ready to take the bath. I can turn the water on and get it ready for you. I can check it out and set it all up for you, put the little bubble baths in it, put all the ingredients that you need to really have a nice bath so that when you come out, you're going to smell really good, and God's going to be like, ah, and it's a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Just like, Esther prepared herself for the king, okay? And she was adorned and looked really, really good and smelled really, really good. And the king was like, I'll give you everything. It was like she made him drunk. Oh, you're so beautiful and you smell so great. I'll give you everything you want in the kingdom, whatever you want. And this is the same thing with my God. My God, if you come to him smelling this good and looking this good, he's going to be like, oh, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. It doesn't matter. I'll give you the whole kingdom. And that's how much it really means to God to have ourselves arrayed and smelling good. One of the things that causes us to smell real good is a broken heart. A heart that is surrendered and comes to a place of love. Now, this is probably one of the hardest questions because I don't feel many of us really know what love is. And I don't know if we really understand how to love anyone. And to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind is almost the main ingredient. It's like the big washcloth and the big piece of soap that you need to start with to start washing your body, to start cleansing yourself. It's not a work as good and bad, right and wrong. It's an attitude of a place in your heart that you need to establish. And to come to God in love is... One, I would say, surrender your will and stop trying to figure it out. God does things in a very miraculous sign wonder way. And if you think you could figure it out, you're not allowing God to be the leader of your life. And this is one of the first things that I would say that begins your bath. You need to come to God in a sense of saying, I'm done trying to figure it out. I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, I have a desire. I have a hope. I have a dream. I have a vision. I have all these things in my heart that is established. I wrote the vision down. I wrote the dream down. I see it. But that's where you got to leave it. That's where you got to go to the point where you have to say, now I need you to begin to prepare the way. And I'm not going to be anxious for anything. Listen very clear to my words because I'm going to say things that are key points in your disposition that you need to be cleansed in Him so that you smell good, so that you look good. And he's attracted to you, and he's drawing closer and closer to you. Listen, God wants you so bad, you don't understand how bad he wants you. But think about it. If you're a dirty mess, a dirty hot mess, does anyone want to be around you? I mean, he is a loving God. I mean, I really get upset when I hear people say, hey, you know, God loves you. Just, you know, accept him in your life and he'll take care of all your problems. Well, yes, but you're leaving that person alone. You know, they don't understand. Well, where's God at? Well, They didn't have the heart to tell you, you're a dirty, stinking mess. You're a hot mess, and he doesn't want to be around you. He does want to be around you, but you got to clean up. And not really knowing how to show somebody how to clean up. They say, all right, if you want to clean up for God, say 10 Hail Marys and 20 Our Fathers and get on your knees and 10 prayers and scream out bala wala wala and go feed the poor 20 times a week and, you know, build me a mansion so that I can preach in and make sure you come every Sunday and, you know, just drain your bank accounts and give them to me and you'll be okay. Listen, that's not how you come to God. You come to God from the inside. And the inside has to be cleansed. So when we come to God, we need to come to a place of, we're done. Can't do it anymore. I can't figure it out. Not to be anxious for anything, because this is a real big key. When you can come to God and say, God, I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Listen, this is the beginning, but we're never there. Okay, there's a scripture that comes into my mind when Peter asked Jesus, Jesus says, hey, Peter, how much do you love me? And Peter's like, oh, I love you with all my heart. I really, you know, and then he looks at him and Peter starts saying, oh, well, you know, I love you. And then he said it one more time, right? Oh, God, only you know how much I love you. Well, we don't really know our heart. We don't really know the condition of our heart. We think, I want to say immaturely, we're born with an immature mind, and we believe immaturely. And so right away, we're like, no, I love God. And we jump into it too quick, thinking that we do. When we really look deep, then we start realizing, wow, maybe my heart isn't as deep as, you know, as close as the love that I thought I had with him. Yeah, I am anxious for things, and I can't settle myself down. Yeah, I am worrying a lot, and I shouldn't be worrying so much. Yeah, you know what? I am trying to figure it out and complaining because things aren't really going the way I want them to go. And it's taken a lot longer than I expect. And, you know, when you start putting all these things together, then we can see how close our love is really towards God. I know some real sincere people who feel and think that they have a really love for God. And they do to the level of knowledge they have. And they're very sincere with their relationship, but what they're lacking is the depth, I would say, of love because of the manifestations of their heart. They're worrying too much, and you can see that they're a hot mess. They're fearful. They're anxious. They're in a place that is just so turmoiled, and they're constantly in an uncertainty. Well, when you come to God in a true love, when you give him your life and you surrender it over, it's like coming into the arms of a comforter and you're a child and you know that you're going to be comforted and there's nothing that's going to harm you or hurt you. And there's a true love and a true trust when that love comes. And if we can look at our lives and say to ourselves, how much are we getting upset? How much are we getting anxious? How much are we spazzing out? How much are we, you know, creating all these turmoil situations? Now listen, trials and things are going to happen in your life. They're going to happen. Things are going to happen. They're not going to go smooth. There's nothing that goes smooth in anybody's life. Matter of fact, the more you become a Christian, I think, the more you become, let's put it this way, in a relationship with my God. I don't want to really call Christian, but, you know, I guess that's the body that I'm in, Christianity. But, you know, I like to maybe even think changing that somehow. But we have Christ, and, you know, and Christ is the nature of, of God. And I don't know yet. I'm still working this all out here. but because once you have a label on you, you're kind of like stuck in that stream. And this stream is not any stream that I know of other than the love of God. Maybe it's the love of God stream. I don't know. But with that being said, you know, I was getting with the Christian end of it and the label that is put on us. And, you know, there's a lot out there that have this deep love for God and they do all the great works that I guess they think they need to do, and they're applying their faith and all this other stuff. But, you know, the true love of God and coming into His presence and having Him in a reality of your life in the form of coming to you. See, I can run after God all day long, but if I'm a hot mess and I stink and I'm all dirty, God's going to be running the opposite way too, I'm going to tell you. He's not going to, you know, let you dwell with Him as a pig pen. He's just not going to let it. It's not going to happen. You can't hang around in the presence of God like a pig pen. How many people have ever seen the Peanuts? You know, and who was that? Linus? Not Linus. No, who was it? Pigpen. Okay. And he's walking around with this dust cloud around him, you know. How many are walking around with this spiritual dust cloud, you know? And this dust cloud is around all of us. I mean, believe me, all of us have it. It's a given nature. It's called our sin nature, so to say. And it's okay to have the dust cloud, but it's not okay to continue to keep the dust cloud. Now that hopefully by the end of this message, you'll begin to start realizing that you have a dust cloud around you, and you just don't, you know, you wonder why your prayers aren't being answered. You wonder why, you know, you're having such a hard time with things. You wonder why you keep hitting a wall. Well, I want to tell you how to have the power of God working in your life. He takes the walls down, but he's running away if you're a pig pen. He's not going to break any walls down for you. He's not going to make a way where there is no way. He'll do it maybe once or twice so that your eyes will open up and start saying, wow, there is a God. But he's not going to do it like all the time for you because he wants you to start cleaning up. How many people are understanding what I'm saying here? Amen. So we come to a place where we realize I can't do it anymore. That's yourself preparing to take the bath. That's not the bath yet. You're just preparing yourself to take the bath. It's like taking off all your garments. You're taking off pride. You're taking off your will. You know, maybe your will is the underwear, I don't know, the shoes. You're taking off all these garments now, and you're getting ready to stand before Him naked. And you're starting to say, okay, God, here I am. I am naked. And I'm ready for your bath. I'm ready to be cleansed so that your presence can encamp around me. And that's when we start. The surrendering is the part that takes off all your clothes and gets you ready for the bath. The condition of the heart now is like the bath water and the soap and the scrub brush or whatever you do and the shampoo, and you know, and then we'll get into the massaging of the washing and then the towel that dries you off, and then your new garment. You know, then you get new clothes because you're not going to put the same dirty, nasty clothes on that you had. So you come to this place where you realize that you can't do it anymore. I hope I can stay not drunk. You come before Him and you say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need You. I need Your strength. I need your will. I need You to start enlightening me and directing me and guiding me. And now you wait. This is the hard part. And I think God begins to start testing you because he's like, seeing if you smell, seeing if you, well, he's still stinking. Well, he's got his clothes off. I can see that he's ready. I think he's ready to take the bath. And starts to, you know, check you out and say, well, let's see if he's really ready for the hot water. Let's see if he's really ready for this hot, steamy bath that I just prepared for you. And he puts things in front of you. And you're ready to stick your toe in it, and you're like, ah! And you start screaming. Well, the water is too hot for you. You can't take your bath yet. So you're not ready. And God's going to put these things in front of you, and he wants to see how you're going to handle it. Are you going to be like spazzing out and freaking out? Or are you going to like be at a place of saying, okay, God, I know it's a little hot, but I know it's good. I know this bath is going to be good. Now, how many people have stuck their finger or hand or foot in a real hot bath water, and it was hot in the very, very beginning, but after you stuck it in there, the heat kind of disappeared. It felt good, right? Well, this is the same thing that God does with us. You know, in the very beginning, he's going to put these things in front of us to see if we're ready for this hot water. Just keep going. Just keep putting your foot in the water and just keep enduring the heat, knowing that it's going to fade away. The heat's going to evaporate off, and you'll be able to descend your whole body into it, and then you'll be able to come to a place of relaxation. No one likes a real hot bath soon. You can't jump in it. I remember one time I had a pool, and I invited some guests over, and I went away, and they left the heater on, and the heater got the pool really super hot. I mean, it melted the whole heating system and everything, but the water was boiling. I didn't know, and I got home from work, and I'm ready to jump in the pool like I normally do, and I got off the diving board, and I jumped in, and I dove in, and was like, I swear the block could hear me scream underwater. The water was so hot. Underwater, all the way to the other end, and got out of the steps and jumped up out of the water. And I thought I left all my skin under the water somewhere, and I came up out of the water with no skin. Man, was that a hot one. And the Lord was beginning to show me it's almost the same way. When we jump into the water like that, we just can't take the heat. We got to come to that place. And, you know, if we have, and I hate using this word, pride, because it's such an ugly word. People get so offended when you start mentioning pride. You know, right away they're like, pride, I have no pride at all. Well, there you go. You got a little bit there that tells you you don't have nothing. But, you know, they get so offended about this word pride. But it's so true. We're so saturated in it. And I look at myself diving in that pool like a man filled with pride. And, you know, when it just scorched me and tore my skin off my body. And that's like it is coming into this bath that God has for us. And if there's any of that whatsoever in us, you're not going to be able to endure the bath. You're not going to be able to come close to the God that I'm talking about. My God is a refining fire God. My God is a God that wants you pure. We are a lump of coal. Understand that. We are a black, nasty chunk of coal. But there's a diamond inside of us, and that's what he wants. He wants to chisel this coal off of us and get us sparkling like a diamond. But it takes a little bit of effort to have this all taken care of. And it's really just a sincerity. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know how many I've heard say, yeah, I'm ready. And in 1 week, they're like, see you later. Where are you at? Work. I got to work a lot and I got to do this. I can't make it out. I've been working a lot. When I get home, I'm tired and I gotta work. Work is probably one of the biggest excuses for all of them, but you know, I understand. The fire is too hot. The bath water is just too hot. But you're never going to experience what I experience. You're never going to be able to come to a place where I'd love to see you come to that I know that you're longing for. There is everyone, every living being is inside screaming to get to the place where I'm at. To get to the place where, I shouldn't say where I'm at, to get to the place with God. How's that one? Okay? I'm with God. And everyone is screaming inside to be with God, the true living God. And I want to bring you there. But there's a process that you have to understand. There's a process that you have to say, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing. And if we're not willing, well, you might be okay then on this earth. You know, you'll get by. How many people realize that you'll get by? Everybody gets by. There's not one person that don't get by. I mean, there's a point where they'll take the gun and maybe blow their brains out or take the knife and slit their throat or their wrist, you know, OD on drugs, alcohol, get drunk, get in a car accident. There's ways of ending it. But you'll get by if you endure, right? Think about it. Comatose yourself, numb it out a little bit with drugs and alcohol, you know, whatever it is. You'll get by. But then we're looking at an eternal life now. And I understand why people don't even want to look at that, because it is. It's like a fairy tale, you know. How can you comprehend that there's a life after death until you have an experience? And that's why I don't even like talking too much about life after death, because, you know, why? Let's talk about life now. Let's talk about getting you conditioned to a life now. I can understand why God says, I don't come for the well, I come for the sick. Because that's the beginning of coming to that bath. You need to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You really need to have a broken will. You need to really have a broken, contrite heart. You really need to be broken. And broken isn't just having a bad day and you want a good day. Broken is where you're having a really good day and you're still not satisfied. Brokenness is when you're having a really great day and everything is awesome and you're still dry and thirsty. And you're honest with yourself. You come to a place of saying, you know what, I had a really great day, but you know what? I'm still not feeling really good. Something's missing. Honesty is a really good policy. Honesty, if we can be honest with ourselves, that helps us get to that place where God begins to be drawn to us. You know how many people aren't honest with themselves? They think that that's just the way life is. Well, you know, come on, I've been doing this for 30 years. I've done it all. I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been doing it for 50. And you're going to tell me something that I don't know? It's the way life is. Suck it up. Really? Really? That's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. There's an eternal bliss. There's an eternal joy. There's an eternal gladness, happiness. In the midst of doing absolutely nothing for the day, you don't have to entertain yourself. How many people feel that they have to entertain themselves? I'm bored. I love that one. If you're bored, guess what? You're far from them. Because boredom is a form of emptiness. But you're not being honest to yourself. You're not saying there's something inside I'm missing and I don't know what to do. So you go find 101 ways of entertaining yourself. When you come to God, you don't have to find anything to entertain yourself. You're entertained just being there, sitting happy, just staring at the walls. That's when you know you got God close to you. When he's far away, you're bored. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. But honesty begins to break down boredom. Because now you know what it is. Did you ever look at boredom? You're actually looking to see what's missing. You're like, what do I need to do? I got to do something. I got to do something. I'm bored. I got to do something. Well, you're in a good spot because you're actually starting to seek. You're actually starting to look inside. You're actually starting to realize that there's an emptiness there and you need to be filled. Well, some of us tend to spend money. Some of us tend to seem like they have to go all over the place, shopping, and you know, maybe they tend to do all kinds of housework, and you know, then they cover it up with all these excuses, like they have to be done. Listen, God can take care of everything. There are some supernatural things that took place in my life that if I shared with you, you would think I was nuts. But God can actually take care of those things that you need to do. And he has done them. There was a time, and Sam gave this testimony. We were out and the snow came down and there was like 2-3 feet of snow out there. Maybe 2 foot, maybe it was getting to 3 feet. And it was a Sunday. And I said, oh, I got to get out there and plow. And I was like, oh, I don't feel like it. And the tractor, I don't know what was wrong with it, or maybe it just took forever to plow with the little bobcat loader I had until I got the bigger tractor. And I said, I'm not worried about it. God will take care of it, or the people will just have to walk through the snow or drive through it or what have you. And then all of a sudden, a backhoe comes down the road and starts plowing my driveway and cleared out all the snow and took care of it. And he witnessed it. This is what I'm talking about. We don't need anything but God. We need to get a bath. We need to start coming to the bathroom and taking off our clothes. We have garments that we're wearing, and we have to learn how to start taking these garments off. We have clothing that we have on our bodies that are stinky and just dirty and nasty and old, and they just have to get thrown away and seriously washed and then come before them naked. We have garments of misery, garments of being anxious. We have garments of pride, and we have garments of anger and bitterness and resentment and hatred and envy and strife, and I think the Bible calls it the fruits of the flesh. And we'll just take that as all the garments that we wear. And we got to start taking them off and stand before them in a place of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. This message is one of the first messages of taking a bath. And realize in our heart that we don't have the supernatural manifesting. Is God manifesting signs and wonders and miracles in your life? You have to ask that. Yeah, he'll do it here and there to get you to know that he's around. But is it calming your heart? Are you like in the hot water and that water's steaming and you're just, this feels so good. And you're over here just kind of like almost falling asleep in this really hot, wonderful bath water. This is the beginning to know how to take a bath with God or for God. Later we'll talk about getting in the river. But, you know, once we get a bath, then we put on this new garment. You know, once we get the bath, we dry ourselves off with this towel, which is so awesome. And I'll tell you about the towel. I'll tell you about all the garments that we put on so that when we stand there, we glow. We radiate. There's a vibrant color of awe and a fragrance that the Lord just goes, beautiful fragrance. It's a sacrifice. An aroma. But we got to get to the bathroom. No need to tell you all about the towels and the outfit and all this other stuff until we get off the dirty clothes. Until we come to a place of being sick and tired, and just say, listen, I need God in my life, and I want to draw near to you, and I want to get cleaned up for you, and I want to smell good for you, and I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to take it all off. I'm going to lay it all down, and I'm going to stand before you naked. Now know that the water is going to be hot. This is going to be your first test. God's going to test you. There are already tests that have come to you. And I'm going to be bold to say you failed. But you failed only because you were ignorant. You didn't know. You just didn't know. And it's okay not to know. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Hear what I'm saying now. And throw everything away and come to that place so that the next test that comes, laugh at it. Just begin to start saying, you're funny. This is what I do. I say, interesting. And I kind of scratch my head because I can't figure it out. And be like, And then I give it one of these. You're funny. You're really funny. Okay, now, show me what I need to do. What do I got to do? 99.9% of the time, he says, nothing. Just sit there and watch. Because God will do it all for you. Believe me, when he wants you to do something, he'll stir you up. All of a sudden, you'll be like a puppet. I think I'll make the phone call. And everything just falls right in place. You don't have to be put on hold. You know, maybe for a second. There might be another test. Please hold. And you, let's see what kind of attitude you're going to have. Ah, come on. You got to be like, interesting. You're funny. You're funny. He's funny. You got to make sure you're laughing the whole way through his test. And you got to have it in your heart. You got to realize you have no control. None whatsoever. Only God has the control of your life. And when you give him that control, you're enduring the hot bath water. You're beginning to soak in this nice hot bath water. It's really good. How many people have soaked in a really hot bath? Doesn't it feel great? Oh, man, it feels awesome. I might even have to leave here tonight and get in one. Never took a bath before in my life. Always showers. But this is making me want to take a bath. And it does. It feels really nice. I was in a sauna one time. And that sauna was really nice. I don't sweat. I remember Sam another time. We were together. And he was like, dude, you don't. We've been sitting in this sauna now for hours and you're not sweating. What's up with you? You're not real. And I was like, I sweat. He's like, you're not sweating, dude. And I'm like, give it some time. I sweat. And he's looking. Next thing you know, bloop, 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 little sweat just started popping out of my pores and running. I said, see, I told you I sweat. When you see him, ask him about that story. Ask him about that, I should say, testimony. But, you know, God is very unique, and he's got a great personality, and he is truly one of the most funniest spiritual individuals you'll ever want to know, and he's full of humor, and I'll tell you, when you finally know him, you're going to be laughing the whole way, the rest of your life. You're going to be laughing and full of joy and just knowing that God is a prankster and loves to play tricks. And his tricks are never bad. They're never harmful. They're always good. They're just so funny. And if you can look at it that way and begin to live this way, you're going to experience the humor of God. And you'll be just like him. You won't help yourself from doing all the little prankies and all the tricks. But at the same time, come to him and realize you have no control. And when you can release the control, which I know many of us, it's hard to do because we're afraid. We have been let down so many times in our lives. And because we've been let down so many times and disappointed, it's really hard to lose the control. It's really hard to trust. It's really hard to put all this on something you can't even see, God, our Creator, and say, okay, take care of it. It's almost where you have to lose your mind completely so that your heart can begin to manifest a power that we don't know on this earth. The only power that we know is through our own efforts and our own strength and our own knowledge in our own understanding. And that's the only knowledge and that's the only power we know. But there's a better power, a higher power, a greater power, a supernatural power that makes a way where there is no way and fills you up and satisfies you that you can't even comprehend. Just waiting on him because he's here. This God that I'm talking about is here right now. If we can just bow our heads for a moment. Open up your heart. He's going to come in. He sees those that are hungry. He sees those that want to know him. And he's saying to me to tell you that you don't have to empower yourself to do this. He's going to empower you to do it. It will come secondhand, like second nature. And there won't be any effort. He's going to renew your mind, and you're going to begin to start laughing at these fiery trials. The situations that come up, you're going to remember my words, and you're going to be listening and laughing and saying, God, you're funny. You're pretty funny. And you're going to be empowered to release control. And you're going to be empowered to allow God to be the ruler and leader of your life. And it will begin to start moving upon your heart to trust Him. He's not expecting you to trust Him. He's going to put His trust in you. And it's His trust that will trust in Him. Now, I feel that the Lord is just saying, thank Him for that gift. Just begin to thank Him for His love, that He has loved you so much, that He has empowered you for this, and that He is going to make things okay. He knows the things that you've been struggling with, and He knows your heart and how deeply much you want those things, and how deeply much in a desire that you like to see them come to pass. But He now sees your heart and how hungry you are for Him. And tonight, He's pleased. And He's going to empower you now to be able to not be anxious for anything. Know that everything is going to be okay in His time. Understand He's working on the hearts of other people. And that takes time, and things that He's doing you can't see. And He's preparing a way. He's preparing everything so that when those things do come to pass, it will be nice and easy and not frustrating. There's things that need to be placed in order, and things aren't quite done yet. Even though that they may not mean anything to you, it means a lot. To prepare a place that needs to be prepared. God knows far more than what we do, and let Him work things out. Let Him take care of those things that need to be taken care of. And just come into this place of this nice hot bath. And soak in this bath. When things start to go the way that makes your heart troubled, just picture the bath and get in that bath water and just start relaxing and endure the little heat that you're going to endure, because afterwards, in a moment, it's going to be relaxing. Because He's going to just wash over you, cleanse you. Make you feel His peace. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this night. I thank You, Lord, that You've touched those hearts that are listening, that are here, and those that are listening over the web or live or on tape. Continue to bless those that are hearing You and longing for You more and more. Because only we can come to You through Your power. And I want to thank You for what You've done in my life and how You drew me to You. Amen and amen. Just take a moment. Let him finish what he's doing. Get ready to take it to another level. You're on a journey, and this journey requires some great equipping. And God is equipping you for the future. Right now, it's easy. Learn now when you can. Because when it gets harder, you're not even going to know it. You're going to be trained. You're going to be equipped. You're going to be endured with power. And you're not even going to know it. You're not even going to know that it got harder. You're going to think it got easier. And people are going to look at you and they're going to say, how did you do it? And your response is, what are you talking about? It just happened. But it didn't just happen. There was a lot that you did through him. And there was a lot that he did for you that you didn't even see. Where others are watching. And God wants to use you as a testimony to him. He wants to use you to glorify him. And when people see you later, you'll be able to say, I couldn't have done this without him. And they will believe you. Because they're going to see and they're going to say, it must be God. Because look. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, you have the ability to even make the rocks worship you if we don't. And I'm asking you tonight, look at us better than those rocks and make us worship you. Teach us and show us. Put that right spirit inside of us. So that we can do those things that you've called us to do. We can be those things that you've called us to be. Only you, Lord. Let us learn to give you the glory that you are due. I understand that the only way to succeed is to let you be the succeeder. If we take any glory that is not ours in the form of will or pride, you'll show us that that hot water bath is really hot and we can't take it. And we'll lose. We'll bail out. We'll quit. We won't take the enduring. We won't be able to handle the chastening of the Lord. We'll run. But through you, we won't quit. And when there is no way, you'll make a way. And Lord, I'm ready to see your way in my life and everyone that is around me. The desire that I have, I know it's from you, is to see everyone succeed in their desires. Because I know that those desires are yours. And I want to see your will come. Amen and amen. Well, this ends our service for tonight. It was a fresh spirit of love tonight. And I understand if it's hard to get your head back up into the place where we need to be. It's okay. Soak it. I call it soaking. I will say, Rachel, I think you're on the right path. I think your business is going to succeed. I believe that as you keep giving God glory and start saying to him, you know, thank you, and minister to, what's her name? Stephanie. And continue to show her God in your life and how he's opening up these doors. God's going to continue to do miracles and signs and wonders because you're in it. And he's a testimony to the world out there. And as long as you continue to testify his name, he's going to continue to bless your work. And I see it. And it's going to go if you heed my words. And you will do very, very well. Don't hold on to anything. Be open for change. Even relationships. Yes. Because God has anointed you. You're the anointed one. You carry it. But don't worry. God will bring those that he needs to do his work, to fulfill what he needs to do, which is glorified his name, and you won't lack nothing. Don't even let your heart be broken, because he can turn them around. And they can come back into your life because you're the leader. You're the anointed one. Don't overpower yourself. Your leadership comes supernaturally. No one has to know, and you don't even have to tell them. They should know by spirit. If they humble themselves, it'll all line up. If not, no loss for you. Big loss for them. But no loss for you. And know that in your heart. You never have to throw it in anyone's face. You never have to do anything other than know in your heart that you're the anointed one. And God has anointed this for his glory. And he's going to do a fast work if you listen to my words. And you'll see all these doors start opening up, opportunities opening up. Don't reason. Just say, okay.